Well, what I'm going to do tonight, if you're relatively new to TCF, then TCF is probably all that you really know. You've heard that there are other CF churches, but you maybe haven't been to a joint meeting with the other churches or been part of a shared ministry with the other churches, and TCF is pretty much all that you know. And so what I want to do tonight is just look beyond TCF at where we came from and the churches that we walk with, and kind of give you a sense of a little bit of our history, and also just how we relate to these other churches, to LCF and to ECF. If you're old in CF years, this is review, you already know this stuff. But if you're relatively new, you'll hopefully learn some things that you didn't know. But for all of us, it's intended to be a reminder of how TCF sits in relationship with these other churches. And, you know, first of all, we are not a denomination. We don't consider ourselves a denomination, even though there are multiple churches in our network. We are a group of churches that walk together, we're united in Christ, and we're really only as strong as our relationships. There's no central authority. One church doesn't have authority over the other churches or anything like that. We walk in relationship, and we're only as strong as those relationships are. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And that's what we strive together as churches, to have that kind of unity. So I want to talk about the first church, which is Lexington Christian Fellowship. It's the mothership church. It's from where the other churches came. Billy Henderson, who is the lead pastor at LCF, he and some others began studying the Bible together on UK's campus in 1974. So I think it was fall of 74, so almost 50 years ago, when they began studying the Bible together. And by 1980, those students formed the first congregation, the first church, and called it Lexington Christian Fellowship, and Billy became their pastor in 1980. So he's been pastor for almost 44 years now. The church has two ordained pastors. Billy is one, and then Bill Hughes is also a pastor there. And Billy is on sabbatical this year, so he is taking some time away. And the church has two elders. Tom Vogel and Matt Henderson are their elders, and they are helping to steer the ship, especially in Billy's absence. And the church has one deacon, Kent Pittard. He's been deacon for a very long time. Don and I have been in the church for over 18 years, and Kent was a deacon then. So he's been a deacon for a very long time. And LCF has planted three churches in its history. And I want to say a little bit about planting churches. So planting churches is an expression of our value of relationship. You know, past a certain size, you begin to lose track of people. We want everybody to play a part, to be an integral part of the body of Christ together. And so when a church gets past about 120 people, including kids, then we start to pray about planting out in the future to be another church. And Billy has said that he thinks 150 is about the perfect size for a church. You want to know where we are right now? Anybody want to take a guess? With kids? We're about 200. About 200 people on a regular basis. We kind of do our census according to home groups, and that's how people are not counted as part of the church, but that's just how we know where people are and where needs are and who needs help and you know, who's being cared for, who's relating to who. So we're about 200. And I've said this several times, but up to a certain size, the church is like a small town. And in a small town, everybody knows everybody else. And, you know, there's neighborliness. People watch each other's kids, help with moves, make meals when somebody's sick. And you can trust people to be dependable, and you can also trust that some people are not going to be dependable, but you can trust them to not be dependable. But past a certain point of growth, you start to lose what makes a small town really great. You start to lose that neighborliness. You start to lose track of what's going on in people's lives. And the way I think of it is, instead of Wilmore, you get Nicholasville. You go from one size to another, and people move to the fringes more easily, and we lose a sense of knowing others and being known by others. And so whenever there has been a leadership team in place to plant a church, then LCF has moved in that direction. And the churches have always been very reluctant to plant without a leadership team in place because that's moving too quickly. And LCF is looking to plant again at some point, but the leadership team isn't fully in place, and so they've just, you know, held off on that. The first plant was Jessamine Christian Fellowship, or JCF. It launched in 2005. And the leaders who planted it were very faithful and worked very hard. But they just kept running into roadblocks. And in about 2021, the church essentially folded and hasn't been a congregation for a couple of years. Most of the members went to LCF. Some of the members came our way, the Dunhams, Paul Ponder, Aurora. They're with us now. In 2006, Trinity Christian Fellowship planted out of LCF. So TCF this June will be 18 years old. We will be a voting age as a church. Chad was ordained as a pastor. I have it in my notes as 1999. Is that right? So Chad's been a pastor, I think it was January too. So I think 25 years Chad has been ordained as a pastor. And he and Billy pastored LCF for years. And then TCF planted around 2003, 2004, planted out, came back into LCF for a little bit, and then planted out for good in 2006. Chad's our ordained pastor, Patrick is our ordained deacon. In December, I became an ordained elder. And like I said, we're unofficially around 200 people who call LCF their church home, to varying degree of how long they think they will be here. Then there's Emmanuel Christian Fellowship, which was planted in 2018. It had a pretty lengthy gestation period. Ben Hughes began working for LCF in 2015, was ordained as a pastor in 2017, and then ECF planted Easter of 2018, so it's almost 6 years old. They're still a pretty young church. They don't have any elders or deacons in their church, and they're around 100 to 120, most of whom is kids. The kids outnumber the adults by quite a bit in LCF. They're going to be a mega church just through natural growth. So across the churches, there are 9 ordained men, pastors, elders, and deacons, and we meet quarterly as a group to discuss certain issues and to make plans and things. We work together. We walk together. The churches have several opportunities to get together as churches and do things as churches. And so we have joint CF meetings a couple of times a year. We typically, on Easter, we get together as churches. And so a week from this Saturday, we will get together as churches and celebrate Easter at King's Church. We also usually get together to break the fast together. In November, when we do the fast, we get together to break the fast. We sometimes have joint men's meetings. It's been a year since we've had a joint men's meeting, so we probably need to do that pretty soon. We have our annual hot dog extravaganza in July, usually on July 3rd out at the camp. That's where we met the Collettes for the first time, was at the hot dog extravaganza. It's kind of like the CF family reunion. It's where everybody gets together. There's an annual women's retreat. That's in April, and that's coming up pretty soon. If you're a married man, we strongly encourage you to ensure that your wife can attend that. We have an annual leaders retreat that we attend together. And then every 3 years, we have the church vacation at Kentucky Dam Village. There's one coming up this summer in June 10th to the 15th. And that's always a good time. We also, as churches, have numerous ministries that we participate in together. That's not just falling on one particular church, but all the ministries work in them together. And one of them is Ayutla Christian Fellowship, which is our sister church in Mexico. And the churches provide monthly support for Pedro Basilio and his family, supporting widows and orphans. We send medical teams a couple of times a year. There's a group that's going this Saturday for a week down to Mexico, building projects, special needs. So that's a shared ministry that we have with the other churches. And that came out of a relationship that Billy developed with Pedro in, I think, 1990. It's been well over 30 years, that friendship. And, you know, rather than contributing to several different ministries across the world or across our country, Billy really wanted to focus on developing a relationship with one. And that's borne fruit over 30-some years. There's also the camp. And I don't say our camp. The camp really belongs to LCF. We participate in some of the tasks that need to be done out there. Sometimes we contribute money for repairs, but there's always cleaning that needs to be done. There's Mars Hill Camp that takes place in August. There's always certain projects that go on out there, and the folks need help out there. There's Mars Hill Academy. So Mars Hill, the school, is a ministry of LCF, and it began in the mid-90s. It's a ministry that came out of LCF. Many of us from across the churches serve as tutors there. I teach 9th grade English. This year I teach 10th grade too, but several people in TCF teach. Chad teaches, Shannon teaches, Audrey teaches, Andy Martin. I'm sure I'm going to forget others, but there are several of us who teach in that school. And we also interview students and families to see if, you know, is this going to be a good fit? Do you really own the values that Mars Hill community has? There's the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Ballet, which takes place in December. Ben Hughes is the executive director. We've had 8 years of performances of that. There's always a lot of work that needs to be done to get the ballet ready. Several folks in TCF have served on stage crew and in other ways of serving. And it's an avenue for evangelism that we promote. And then tied to that is the Mars Hill Forum, our annual Mars Hill Forum, which is another avenue for evangelism. This fall will be our 8th Mars Hill Forum. We had the first one in 2017. And that, you know, Chad and I take the lead on it, but it's not just a TCF thing. We do work with the other churches. If anything, just for word of mouth, getting word out so that we can have more people attend. And then there's University Christian Fellowship, or UCF, our college ministry that meets on Thursday nights. Chad and Bill Hughes have been leading that this year, and I think last year too. So all the college folks from the three churches get together on Thursday nights. And then lastly, there's our Christian Training School, CTS. And that's a time for people to set aside the summer and seek God together. And it means living at the camp full time over the summer. And Chad led one last year. He said he just can't wait to get going on this summer's iteration. So no, it's a lot of work. And I don't know how often we will have CTSs. It never used to be like an every summer thing. So it may be it's something that happens every couple of years. But there were quite a few. I don't know how many were in it last year.
12.
About 12. So it was a pretty good group. So there are many ways in which our life as TCFers is tightly connected with the other churches. And, you know, just kind of in closing, LCF was 26 years old when we planted out of it. And we had a lot of nurture before we planted. And if TCF plants a church in the future, we want that church to know itself in the context of the whole and not just see itself as an island unto itself. And so we encourage everybody to come to the joint meetings when we have them, to, you know, to prioritize those, to join in and to get to know people from the other churches. When we do have joint men's meetings, for the men to come to that. I'd really hate for people to spend a couple of years in TCF and just say, you know, I know there are other CF churches, don't really care about them. TCF is really all I'm really concerned about, and, you know, we'll just, you know, when we get together with the other churches is fine, but not really interested in getting to know them. That's not who we are. We came out of a church, and we walk with these other churches, and we're not an island unto ourselves. All right, any questions on that?
When is TCF
going to play? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we do talk about it. We pray about it. Again, a lot of it has to do with the leadership team. And we don't want to plant if there is not a leadership team that's in place. And we've talked about what that leadership team might look like. And so it's certainly something that we talk about quite a bit, and we recognize that we don't want to lose the neighborliness that we have. We are grateful for the growth that God has given the church, and it's been great to welcome people and to get to know people, to disciple them. And so we know that we need to do something sometime soon.
You would comment on part of it is we try to raise up internal leaders, and that sets up. It's not like you can just put out applicants, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. The pastors in our churches have always come from within. We don't put out an ad and then have a committee and then interview and hire pastors from the outside. And so that, in a sense, limits, I think in a good way, limits who is going to be the pastor, because whoever does become a pastor and is ordained is somebody who's known by the congregation. They've seen that person grow and mature. And so there's not a, you know, several years of just wondering, well, is this person going to be here 5 years and then move on and take, you know, another congregation? Whoever becomes a pastor is pretty much a lifer and plans to be here and to shepherd that flock for a long time. And so, yeah, so that's just something that we think about as far as, you know, who in the congregation feels led in that direction. Obviously, I've felt led in that direction for a long time. I just don't know and think that it's probably not going to be on a full-time basis, like somebody whose main vocation is as a pastor of a church. I think if we plant a church, I would be heavily involved in the plant and working, you know, being on the leadership team, but then hopefully walking with some other guys who feel led to be a pastor at some point and who have a lot of years ahead of them in which to do it.
What are those different functions of pastor and deacon within the Sea of Churches?
Yeah, so the, you know, our pastors pretty much are full-time vocational guys. Elders tend to be bivocational in that they have a main occupation, but they do a lot of the same things that the pastor does. They often do teaching in some form. They will do pastoral care. They're part of the leadership of the church. I think Chad and I see pastors and elders as pretty synonymous. The Greek terms are pretty synonymous. There's a little bit more of a demarcation in the other churches than here. But Chad would be, in a sense, the lead elder as the one who has it as a full-time vocation. And then deacons mostly are working in areas of service and coordinating service kinds of things. We don't own facilities, but deacons tend to oversee facilities and usually care projects as well. Aaron.
Can I ask about facilities then? Because it struck me that I don't think any of the CF churches have brick and mortar. Is that sort of an intentional thing amongst the churches? I realize they're small too. So.
Yeah. I think for a long time it probably was intentional. Now, the LCF owns the what we call the JCF building because it's where they used to meet in across from West Jessamyn High School. LCF owns it, and Kent, who's the deacon, oversees the care for that, along with some other guys, but he oversees that. And then there's the camp as well, which LCF owns, and that requires quite a bit of work as well. I mean, Chad and I kind of like not owning a building.
The quick up, I mean, it's not a strong theological position. It's just, man, a building can become an albatross for a congregation. There's so much resources sunk into it. There's so much sometimes fighting over it. So I think in some ways we've avoided it for those reasons. We've always talked about it would be great if one day we owned a building and all our congregations rented from it. I think one of the other neat things that's come over the years from renting from other churches is the cross-pollination with other churches, getting to know those pastors, getting to know those congregations. So I would miss that. I would love to be on a Sunday for worship. We've talked about the Seventh-day Adventists, seeing if they would rent, because they don't meet on Sunday. I think there's looking that way, but you know what property's like right now. And these days, there's post-COVID. I'm sure everybody knows about the stories of lots of churches closing, and so I don't know what the future holds in that regard. But
probably the most difficult thing about not owning a building is when we want to do something like this. It's not always easy to find a place during the week or on the weekends, other than what we've contracted with Anchor. Ashley. We have a draft. Yeah, Chad and I have a draft.
It's the softball game, right?
Right. Yeah.
So yes, I would say absolutely, and it's kind of like though your kids growing up. There's something both natural but sad about it. And again, Kelly and I are not in a hurry. The way the plants have gone is typically it's. You know, I think in my case, I had a home group and I split that home group, and maybe that happened a third time, and those three home groups were the core of our plan. So it was kind of a team that was already together. I would also say, I'm good friends with Kelly. I'm not in the same home group with him. I'm good friends with Billy. I'm not in the same church with him. So it doesn't mean an end of those things. But absolutely, there's a kind of a bittersweetness to it. But again, that's sort of built into home groups as well. They will get too big, and you need to grow them and divide them. So
yeah, admittedly, when TCF planted out of LCF, we had only been around for about a year, so it wasn't hard for us because we really hadn't met that many people, and the people we had met were coming this way. Is there anybody over here? I've mostly looked in this direction.